In the beginning, there was darkness. Then, out of the void, came fire. Smoke. Rodo. Fantasy excellence begins here.
This is your time.
The Rodo Experts in the Morning. Starts now.
Hour number two. Rodo Experts in the Morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Fantasy Executive King. And, of course, Wall Street Matt Modica. Kind of wrapping up the conversation on Thursday night's Texans and Bengals game. DeAndre Hopkins wound up okay, Matt Modica. He wound up okay. Didn't have a touchdown. It wasn't like this breakout game of any sort. But it wasn't an epic collapse. It was an epic disaster.
The one thing you take away from this is, and for fantasy football, I think it's probably the most important thing, volume trumps efficiency. And as long as you get the volume, whether it's a running back or it's a wide receiver, you have that opportunity. Scott always says opportunity doesn't guarantee success, which is true, but it gives you a greater chance of achieving that goal.
Yeah, and with Hopkins yesterday, like I was saying, you saw a lot of underneath throws, and like we really haven't seen Watson let it loose downfield yet to Hopkins. And look, if you don't have Brock Osweiler in there, you know, Hopkins is going to get the ball. You know, he did a great job of getting open on various different routes. And to his credit, you know, a lot of these are your throws. Like, I think Hopkins knows that his quarterback has some limitations. So he has a very high football IQ and says, okay, I need to be here, here, and there because, you know, this is what the kid is capable of.
Well, I mean, here's the thing, too. Week one, Hopkins had 16 targets, 7 receptions, 55 yards, and a touchdown. Last night, 13 targets, 7 receptions, 73 yards, 0 touchdown. So he's been able to give you those points based on, you know, getting a ton of targets.
And he's running the right routes for those targets.
Yes, he certainly is. What?
I'm trying to think. Running the right routes.
I just explained it.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah. It's my bad.
Yeah.
There's nobody else there. You know, there's just nobody else there.
Yeah, it really isn't.
Like we've talked a lot about Braxton Miller, and in the past before that, Jalen Strong. These guys, it's not going to be a thing.
Oh, Tyler Irvin.
I don't think Tyler Irvin's going to be a thing either.
Okay. I think they need Will Fuller back.
You know what he did too? He spread it, like he targeted Miller a few times. It was Irvin a few times, and he showed a willingness to do what a lot of young quarterbacks won't. He will throw the ball in the flat, you know, to the running back. Like he does it to Lamar Miller.
He does. He does Lamar Miller. My issue, by the way, as a Lamar Miller owner with Dante Foreman is that Dante Foreman is going to get touchdown attempts too. That's the problem.
That job will be usurped, surely.
Yeah, I know.
Miller had a lot of trouble in the red zone last year when he got the opportunities.
This isn't good. This is not good. All right, we take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Odell Beckham Jr. Rematch in the morning. Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Hey, this is Greg Sussman from the Roto Experts in the Morning. And listen, we could all use a little help sometimes. That's why I talk to three guys every single day and they help me with my fantasy teams. But if you need help with your fantasy teams, and you probably do, you should purchase the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football In-Season Package, featuring weekly lineup ranks, chats with our experts every single day, and player cards for every player in the NFL, including reports from InsideInjuries.com. You cannot beat it. Don't set your lineups without checking the Roto Experts Exclusive Edge In-Season Package. Back here with you on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And it's time to talk about Odell Beckham Jr. And we're talking throughout the program, we're talking about idiocy, right? Talking about idiots. Scott, you made the point that I said repeatedly over and over, banged my hand on the table, the whole deal, that Odell Beckham would play week one, that there's no evidence he has any sort of knee injury, that there is no evidence that he has any sort of high ankle sprain. All we know is that there is an ankle sprain. Dr. Ray came on the program, and he will be coming on the program again in 10 minutes from now, and said, from what he sees, it looks like an ankle injury. It looks like a high ankle sprain and potentially a sprained knee of some sort. Something like the MCL is what he told us. Nobody said that. There's no evidence. Yesterday, Odell Beckham came back to practice for the Giants. He did the jumping. He did the cutting. Had a nice little burst, according to some of the videos that I watched. He looked like Odell Beckham Jr. for the most part. He finally interviewed with the media after practice. And he said doctors told him he was dealing with a 6 to 8 week injury. Now, I think the only reason that he would say that to the media at this point was because he believes he's beating that timeline of 6 to 8 weeks. Reporters kind of followed that up by saying 6 to 8 weeks was when he would seemingly be fully healthy from the injury that plagued him in the summer. Now, 6 to 8 weeks, the 6 week mark, just to be clear, is week 4. Dr. A said, when we initially had him on, that the Giants hold him out for the first 2 weeks, bring him back in week 3 or 4, which would be basically 5 or 6 weeks. And that would get him back or close enough to optimum health to where he should be playing. With all that being said, Matt, you and I talked about it off the air that the Giants would be wise to hold out Odell Beckham for that 1 more week, because I think you bring him back a week later, he's relatively close to that 6 to 8 week mark. A guy, you'd say 6 to 8 weeks, a guy can come back in 5. That's not like unheard of by any means, obviously. And he'll be healthy, he'll be spry. And this week is maybe just pushing it a little too much.
As someone who's heavily invested in Odell Beckham, and I have him in my biggest money league, I don't want him to play this week. Give him the 1 more week. Even if he's almost there, put him out for 1 more week. And the other thing, too, with injuries, people will say, I'm trying to be injury optimistic. Look, it's a 6 to 8 week timetable. We don't know the severity of the injury, and everybody heals at a different pace. Maybe he needs more than that. Maybe he needs less than that. We don't know. We're going off of assumptions, timetables. He seems to be getting close for what he's doing on the practice field. It's not a game, you know, it's not game time. It's not between the lines. So for me, as someone who's heavily invested in, I think you hold him out the 1 more week, you give him that extra time, and I'd rather have Odell Beckham close to 100% come week 3 and the rest of the season than put him out there on Monday night. I've already put Corey Davis in. I'll make adjustments if I have to, but I'll try and survive 1 more week. I was able to do it last week, but I'll try and survive 1 more week and rather have, I'm looking at the a long-term plan here. So that's my hope, that he does not play.
Yeah, and you know, unfortunately, it's another Monday night thing now. It's not Sunday night, it's Monday night. So you know, you don't even know fully until Saturday about how limited he actually is in practice, because it's the equivalent of Friday. But still, how effective is he going to be even if he's out there? When in doubt, you always have to go with the healthy alternative and, you know, play it safe, just like Matt outlined. Matt also outlined when he was talking to reporters, he said, it's a 6 to 8 week injury, but look, everybody heals different, he said. You know, it could be a 4 to 12 week injury. Everybody's body just heals differently. And like Dr. Ray originally said when he was talking about the injury, he said he probably wouldn't be good until at least week 3.
I mean, in a shallow league, you probably have some options here between the Lions and the Giants. I mean, I know, not that I really want to roll this out in one league, but I do have Kenny Golladay on my bench. I don't trust Kenny Golladay to put up the numbers he put up last week. But if I was to, you know, play that game, at least I have somebody that I could throw in.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people hit waivers this week, and they were able to pick up guys like Golladay and Cooper Kupp. You know, and if you got Cooper Kupp, you can roll him out there as an alternative.
Well, the difference between Golladay and Cooper Kupp is Golladay plays the Giants on Monday night, right? Like, you can see Beckham's going to be out there.
That's a good point. But if you're in the other sort of situation, I advise going with the healthy player.
Yeah, at least Cooper Kupp's games, I think, are, 425? So yeah. It doesn't really help you, but right, it gives you at least that option.
Golladay helps. Evan Engram helps. All the same names we said last week on the Giants, certainly. Even, you know, desperate Roger Lewis. I know we joked last week about it, but On Monday night, you have two teams to choose from. You don't have six like we did last week.
Yeah, Lewis, I threw it out there as a desperation call, and, you know, he led the team in receiving, and he never played for Seattle.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. This is a thing now.
Yeah, it was going to be a thing for the next
16
weeks.
Scotty's like the deep player whisperer.
Yeah. Listen, if you...
I'm the Nando DeFino of football.
If you're desperate, Roger Lewis could be a thing. You know, this is what you're going to have to worry about.
I think Odell plays, though.
I think he does, too.
Yep.
I don't think he should, but I think he probably does.
Yeah, I agree.
Let me ask you a question with all due respect, based on what?
Based on the fact that if the Giants fall to 0-2, that's two losses in the NFC, and the Detroit Lions, who they'll likely at this point be competing with for a wild card spot, will be two games up on them with the tiebreaker.
But if they play Odell and he's not ready, it shatters them for a longer period.
It does. You're absolutely right.
But I think fall in the hole now, though?
Because you could bounce back from it.
But I think the way is, Scotty, I think given how terrible they looked last Sunday night,
it's more urgent.
It feels,
you know, if we're gonna play that line though, then Odell might be out there as a decoy.
Potentially,
that's very possible.
Well, yeah. See, here's the thing: you can't decoy him though, because nobody else can score.
That's true too.
Nobody else can score.
Just look at the Mets in baseball with Yonis Cespedes. When we knew he shouldn't have come back. And they got desperate in April because the Nationals were coming up that weekend.
I sat right in this seat. I was watching that TV right there. I was like, oh, my God. Cespedes just got hurt again. I could not believe it.
All I know is I walked into the pizzeria that Thursday afternoon. It's delicious pizza, by the way. I look up at the screen and I see him getting helped off the field, arm around two trainers.
And, you know, what else with the Giants is they really have to try to establish some semblance of some running game just to make the defense respect it.
I think
like you said earlier this summer, you watch the film preseason and the first game, Orleans Darkwa is just a better runner than Paul Perkins.
Yeah.
If you're desperate for a running back help, if you're in a deep league, I picked up two Orleans Darkwa in two deep leagues.
Yeah, I
think it end up starting for them.
I think it's a very solid stash, Scott. I think that, listen, this running. I know Corey likes to say, you know, he doesn't go to New York for his running, you know, for his running backs. And I get that, but I think if you're going to stash running back, I think there's worse guys to stash than Owens Darkwa. I really, really do. I think at some point he winds up falling into the end zone or looking good. Like, Orleans Darkwa, he's a much better stash than Keyson Williams, you know? Like,
look, if you drafted Paul Perkins in the ninth round, you knew it wasn't a good situation. You know, the situation isn't great, but if you want some running back depth, I'd take a flyer.
I entirely agree with you.
There was a reason Paul Perkins was available in the ninth round.
That's true, too.
That's exactly what I meant. Yep.
And that's true, too. Speaking of players, the best players on the team that may not play, you mentioned it a little bit earlier on in the program, Scott, but there seems to be like a legitimate possibility that Richard Sherman does not play on Sunday for Seattle, which would really open things up, potentially, for Pierre Garçon to have a much bigger game.
Yeah, because, you know, he's never missed a game in his career. And, you know, the whole way they operate the defense is going to change. Look, Shaquille Griffin played great, I think, in his NFL debut. But, you know, I think like I mentioned, Brian Hoyer threw the ball into tight windows 48.1% of the time last week, and that's what he does. It's much easier to fit it into a tight window when Sherman isn't there, and you're going to the whole depth of the secondary changes. Look, you still got Earl Thomas, you know, out there playing a lot of center field. It's going to be a tough day for Brian Hoyer, but, you know, I think Garçon will have a respectable day.
Yeah, I think so too. It'll Listen, the Seattle defense is still obviously one of the best in the NFL. Losing Richard Sherman potentially Sunday, we'll see if he practices on Friday. We'll see if he practices, but. It could be a major loss for them, obviously.
You look at the opponent, and they probably think they could win. And, you know, they don't want to lose Sherman for the long term. You know, they're not looking at this as a game they can lose.
No, they're obviously not. Also, speaking of players that may not play, Jason Verrett had a little bit of a setback, it seems, with his left knee. I believe that was the knee he tore his ACL with. He missed practice with knee soreness. I've been a little bit worried about these Charger cornerbacks against Devontae Parker and Jarvis Landry, and losing Verrett really could open things up for Parker in a major way.
Look, they got two very good cornerbacks, and he's one of them. If they have both of them there, I think it's tougher on Miami than it is on the defense. But now, possibly no Verrett and no Denzel Perryman, you know, the defense is starting to take some hits. I liked him in the preseason, yeah, too.
Regardless, Jay Cutler's going to take his shots.
Yeah. He is.
Oh, yeah, he don't care who else out there.
He is. It's a lot easier. It's a lot easier if Jason Verrett is not out there.
They could be Deion Sanders and Rod Woodson out there. Jay Cutler going to take his shot.
Yep. When we come back, Dr. A, Inside Injuries joins the program. This is the Little Experts of the Morning.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money, and lots of it, by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
Corey Parsons, Scott Angle, Wall Street, Matt Lodiga, Greg Sussman here with you, chatting it up, getting ready for a football Sunday, obviously. Let me ask this, gentlemen. John Brown missed practice over this week, and it looks like, I don't know if it's a setback with that quad injury or the sickle cell is not allowing the quad injury to heal. I think it's something we have to look at. Not that we haven't had to look at John Brown repeatedly, but seemingly, once again, John Brown is going to be a thing.
Especially with a tasty matchup.
And before we get more into John Brown, I think we need to ask the expert about John Brown. Dr. A, Inside Injuries, joins us each and every week here on the Road to Experts in the Morning. Good morning, Doc.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
I feel good.
Hey, Doc, what's up? I think I'm coming down with plantar. How can I curb this plantar fascia, Doc?
You got to stop playing pickup basketball.
Corey. Oh, yes. I'm washed up, Doc.
Anyway, so we just mentioned John Brown, who once again missed practice. He missed a lot of the summer with a quad injury. Is John Brown healthy? Does he have a setback? Does it have to do with his sickle cell trait? What's the deal with John Brown?
So, if you guys remember, obviously, he got this quad injury, throughout training camp. Even though he practiced in the final 2 weeks and he played in the preseason game, I mean, grade 2 quad injury is not anything simple. It's an actual straining within the muscle belly of the quad. We had him at elevated before that injury, and he's now obviously, at elevated. We were downgrading him to an elevated injury risk to start the season. In fact, we didn't really want him, think that he would be, optimally back to real health until the game, second or third game. And so right now he's at elevated injury risk at 23% and below average at 55%. The optimal recovery time here is 4 weeks. He's probably re-exacerbated. He didn't practice on Wednesday and Thursday. If he plays in this game coming up, I really strongly, I don't know exactly what his official status is right now for the next game, but he still should be about 2 to 3 weeks away to allow these numbers to improve. If he does play, he's probably somebody you do not want to start.
You can check out Dr. A and his team now in the exclusive Edge in Season Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. We now feature Inside Injuries into free radio at checkout for a special discount. Doc, everybody's waiting from here to you about, what should we expect from Odell Beckham Jr. this week. Is he going to play? And how effective would he be?
Well, as I've said over and over and over again, probably I feel like a broken record on him, but we don't think he should come back until week 3. So we're in week 2. If he does play again, he is he's at too high of an elevated injury risk. Again, this high ankle sprain, this is something that recurs, unfortunately. And it's sort of like a killer for wide receivers because, the speed that they have to generate is just not possible if they're going to suffer some pain through this high ankle sprain. So, again, Nothing has changed on him, in our opinion. I mean, he's supposed to be resting. He's supposed to be doing light workouts. He's supposed to be, you know, not ready to play until week three, like we've always said. So he's still at elevated injury risk, but his numbers are improving every single week. According to us, he should get back to at least above average and, above average to maybe even peak health. However, because of that high ankle sprain, he likely will not fall back into low injury risk, but he will be, much closer to peak health when he if he rests this week and then starts next week.
Listen, Dr. Ray has been really all over this, and I'll be the first to admit, I was like, you know what? No one said this. I don't know where you're getting this from. And you've been on this from the beginning, that week three was the ideal was not getting necessarily to optimal health, but it was giving him enough recovery time to be effective on the field. And he came out yesterday and said, listen, I was told a 6 to 8 week injury. Week three would be about 5 weeks since the injury. And then you said, listen, that's good enough. Of course, if he had a little more time, that would be even better. This would be week four. We said it earlier. I'll say it again. I really think you miss week two, you put Odell in a much, much better spot going forward, Matt.
Yeah, I agree. I hope so as an Odell owner. And, Doc, I saw Jordan Howard pop up on the injury report. And I'm always dubious, you know, especially the way some of these coaches handle it. Is this something fantasy owners should be concerned about, or it's kind of one of those tricks that coaches play?
Well, it's hard to read the minds of coaches sometimes. Our algorithm is getting better and better at it, but we feel like this is a grade one shoulder injury. It's nothing too serious. It's just a mild sprain. He's a running back, so he's not actually throwing the football. The recovery time here should be just 1 week. Right now, it did push him into elevated injury risk, but his numbers are really close back to low and above average again. So we don't expect this thing to be incredibly serious. It makes sense that he's limited at practice Wednesday and Thursday, but we wouldn't be surprised if he does start the game, on Sunday. And so he should drop into above average to close to peak health when he's starting again.
There you go, Dr. Ray. Inside Injuries. Of course, check out the app. And our player card, Scott, Inside Roto Experts, has Inside Injuries reports.
Yep, and when you go to the Exclusive Edge homepage, there's a link for their entire database.
Doc, we saw yesterday that Danny Amendola, once again, did not practice with the Patriots, and I was hoping that he would come back from this concussion after a few extra days off, given that the Patriots opened up on Thursday night. And unfortunately, he didn't. And word leaked out he may have a little knee injury as well. We know Danny Amendola has not been the picture of health over his career. How long do you think it will take him to recover from this knee and from this concussion injury?
So we actually, before the season started, our algorithms were kind of saying that, you know, he's had enough time to recover from all of his injuries, he should be good to go. But then, I don't know if you guys remember, but our board actually said, you know what, because of his style of play and his body type and everything, we actually downgraded him subjectively to a elevated injury risk with a peak health, meaning he's a high risk, high reward guy. This is his second concussion, and so I think we've talked about this. You saw that his head hit the turf, right?
Sure.
This wasn't a helmet to helmet, and so remember we talked about, you know, the turf is immovable, right? And so his concussion is likely a lot more serious or a lot more severe than, you know, normal. You know, hey, I'm going to go through concussion protocol in 48 hours, I'm going to be just fine. And now with on top of this knee injuries and a lot of other previous injuries in the past, we have gone the other way on him. We feel like these two injuries will significantly limit him for the rest of the season. He's at right now high injury risk, below average. We do not think that he will be back to anywhere near peak health this season. And that's sort of, you know, it's kind of a bold statement to say, but, you know, unfortunately, we just got to follow these numbers. And, you know, he's at 27% injury risk for the rest of the season right now, at high injury risk. And, you know, I would start looking elsewhere at this point.
Doc, Jamison Crowder played last week, but he didn't look 100%. He has practiced in full this week. How is he going to look this week?
So he's got a grade one hip injury. He had a hip injury in the same hip last December. And obviously, you know, it showed last week when it sort of hampered him. He's practicing in full now for week two, which is a good sign. And his numbers have been improving. You know, he was at high injury risk before, and he started. So I'm hoping a lot of your listeners saw that he moved into high injury risk so that they did not start him last week. But he's improved to elevated now, and he's now improved to above average. And so, you know, starting this week, he looks a lot better than he did last week. He's still at elevated injury risk, but should drop back into low injury risk if he rests one more week. If not, he'll stay at elevated injury risk at 15%.
Hey, Doc, let's stay with the running backs here. Thomas Rawls is expected to return fully practicing. How confident should fantasy owners be about putting him in their starting lineup?
Yeah, so again, this is the high ankle sprain dilemma, which kind of comes back over and over and over again. So here's the deal on Thomas Rawls. So he had his injury 4 weeks ago. He did miss week one, but that's good, right? And so optimal recovery time for a high ankle sprain is between 4 to 6 weeks, like similar to like Odell Beckham Jr. can go as high as 7 weeks. And so he's actually right on target to start at the lowest minimum level. However, he'll be back up to above average, close to peak health, but he will stay at elevated injury risk. Thomas Rawls is, again, one of these guys, high risk, high reward, because of that high ankle sprain. You know, a lot of these guys very rarely take the full 8 weeks as a precautionary measure because, you know, just the demands and the pressure of playing, you know, they have to get back out there. So I would expect this injury to recur again sometime down the, you know, during the season. But he will be much closer to peak health, you know, by the beginning of this second week.
Would you say that even Thomas Rawls not 100% is still better than Eddie Lacy?
Yes.
I just had to get that in there.
That is a football question.
I'm just teasing question. We hate Eddie Lacy.
I know.
Here.
I hate Eddie Lacy.
Not we.
Some people like him.
Not
hey,
personally.
Dr. A, we appreciate the time, man. I hope you had a nice little vacation. Thanks for coming on a day later with us this week. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week.
Great. Always great to be with you guys. Have a good week.
And there you go, Dr. Wright, Inside Injuries. As Scott mentioned, you go to rotoexperts.com, you check out the player cards, and they have a report from Inside Injuries. I'll let you know how the guy is. And you heard him, Scott. If you would have read Jamison Crowder's player card, you would have knew. You shouldn't start him last night.
Yeah, and if you go to Exclusive Edge homepage, their entire database is there. You can search anybody.
All right, there you go. We take a break, and when we come back, some more of the headlines from yesterday, which include talking about a little bit more about Josh Doctson, Jay Ajayi, and, of course, Dalvin Cook. That's next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.
Hello, friends. If you want to win at fantasy sports, wouldn't you listen to people who have already won at fantasy sports? I'm here to tell you about DailyRoto.com. Don't be intimidated by the DraftKings and FanDuel sharks, even the fantasy draft sharks. The guys at DailyRoto.com have not only won $1 million amongst one of the writers, but they've created three others. That's four people who have won millionaire contests from this content alone. Don't be fooled by screenshots talking about $25,000 winners from other places. Go to DailyRoto.com, where they have a proven track record of creating millionaires. DailyRoto.com. Tell them Greg Sussman sent you.
Some other headlines from yesterday. Before we get into our game by game preview, what we're looking for in each game, we'll do that next hour. But some headlines from yesterday. What stuck out to me, gentlemen, was that Adam Gase kind of acknowledged that Jay Ajayi's battling some knee soreness and has been for quite a while.
Scotty's been saying bone on bone all summer. He's not a guy that I really have, I might have one or two shares of. Look, if he does get this volume and stays healthy, he should have a really good season. I don't know how the Jay Cutler comes in, because at one point it seemed like they just really wanted to go through with Jay. And with Cutler, that's just not going to happen. He's going to chuck it up.
He says, they said that Gase, I mentioned, he's fine now. Jay Ajayi hasn't missed any practice time or anything like that. He says he's fine, but that he's battling knee soreness. And now he's going to get, let's say, 25 carries in a game. That's probably not good.
You know what? We'll have to ask Dr. Ray about it next week. But, you know, this is something that the Dolphins will have to manage and that they're aware of. I have Ajayi in two leagues. And, look, I know the risk that, you know, was in the back of my mind. I talked about it, but I still felt like he was the best player on the board. So, you know, I was willing to throw that out there. And when he's in there, you know, he's going to put up the numbers, especially with Jay Cutler improving the offense and moving it more smoothly and putting them into regular scoring position and also up more, opening up more lanes for defenses to respect the running game.
Who would you rather have rest of the season, Scotty, Jay Ajayi or DeMarco Murray?
That was the question I was going to ask. You took the words out of my tongue.
I'd probably, you know, both of them have...
Bone on bone or hamstring.
Yeah, I'd probably lean Ajayi because...
Ajayi is not the player that DeMarco Murray is.
He's not, but they're both, you know, minor injury risks in my eyes.
Minor?
Yeah.
Can't be minor, Scott.
It's minor. It's not a major injury
risk. You offer Murray, so it's not minor.
I didn't drop him to 50.
You offer him, no?
I had him at number 10.
But you're off him now.
No, off him is incorrect.
Well, where do you have Ajayi?
I had Ajayi at 8. They were pretty close to each other. So it's kind of, to me, they're both minor injury risks. But I think, you know, Ajayi is probably, you know, looking more like himself.
All right. So, Greg, you said 20 to 25 carries. I don't see 20 to 25 carries, not on a Jay Cutler team. That you're not running this thing. Jay Cutler's here now. You're not running this thing through Jay Ajayi. You're running this thing through Jay Cutler. You got the wrong Jay. You feel what I'm saying?
I don't know if that's smart to do that, though, because I think
he didn't come here to turn around and hand the football.
But he's driving
off.
You have to, there's a different bus driver.
You have to remember something, though, and people in Chicago will tell you this. You don't want to turn the whole thing over to Jay Cutler if you want to win football games. You want to have offensive balance. What I'm saying is it's not like we were projecting with Tannehill that this guy would carry 25, 30, 30 times a game. There's got to be balance, though, because if you lead too much on Cutler, he's going to hurt you when it counts.
Jay Cutler did not come out of retirement to hand the ball off, though.
No, but you can't put it fully on his shoulders either.
Like I'm saying, I agree with you, Scott, 100%, but, you know, everything I've watched from Jay Cutler, he had a sweet gig in the booth. He came back, and look, they're going to have – there could be game scripts that, you know, favor a Giant. That's what they want to do, but – I don't trust Jay Cutler, you know, being the game manager at all.
The fact that Cutler is there, though, I think ultimately in terms of touchdowns bodes well for Ajayi.
Well, we'll say this, right? Because of that bone-on-bone condition that we know that Ajayi probably has in that knee, not having him run as much as we saw last year is probably a good thing. Having Jay Cutler take some pressure off him is probably a good thing. I agree, Scott. I think they're going to benefit each other being there.
Yeah, and they'll splice in some Damian Williams here.
Well, see, that's the maddening part that could be. I mean, they've had, like, Damian Williams catching some, you know, touchdown passes inside the 10, or even Kenyon Drake. They did that last season. They kind of stated they were going to go away from that, and, you know, this guy's going to get 350 touches, possibly, which was never going to happen. Let's be real.
Right, for sure. Staying in the AFC East, LeSean McCoy, the horse bell cow for the Buffalo Bills. It looks like he was ready to rock for this week. He's going to play on Sunday. LeSean McCoy, listen, they're not going to back off this dude, and they're going to just continue to ride him and ride him and ride him.
No, he's the very definition of a bell cow.
Correct.
But I really don't own him anywhere. Where I did own him, I got rid of him with the opportunity. And I don't think – I got rid of him because I'm looking long-term.
Yeah.
I don't want a piece
playing
of
the long
offense.
Game. When the injury pop up, you know what I'm saying, a little bit later on, he could decide just go ahead and shut it down because they might Earl Campbell that too this year. Give it to him again. They might, Greg. They might Earl Campbell him this year. They might.
His ankle is falling off.
Yeah, don't worry about it. He's good to go. He's a young man.
Charles Clay, despite being, you know, getting some maintenance days, he's gonna play this weekend. He's gonna be ready to go. I'm telling you, I'm rolling him out until he gets hurt.
Look, you can date back to last year and all that stuff, but I mean, for me, the Bills had the perfect matchup week one. It made people feel good about them and all that stuff, but I think they get smashed in Carolina.
I am not feeling good about the Bills. I'm feeling good about Charles Clay's role on the Bills while he's healthy.
The only receiving option that Tyrod Taylor is familiar with is Charles Clay.
Correct. That's the truth. Hey, speaking of guys that are always hurt, Josh Doctson is never getting on the field, Corey. Like, this dude is never going to play.
Yo, I seen a lineup of mine where he was on my bench. I was like, how the hell did he get on my bench?
Did you have Kevin White on that bench, too?
Nah. No. I didn't have. Yeah. What's the latest with him? Did he practice this week, right?
Who are we talking about?
Josh Doctson.
I believe
he's going to be on a limited snap count, I believe, this weekend.
Oh, boy.
See, I have him in like I have him in a league where I have Terrell Pryor.
Sure.
And I don't want to cut him because if something happens to Terrell Pryor, I got to figure this guy is going to get the opportunity.
I don't know, man. I think Ryan Grant's going to be the dude.
No, Ryan Grant.
Here's what the Redskins want to do. Last year, Kirk Cousins was one of the best deep passers in the NFL. In week one, he went 0 for 6 on passes of 20 yards or more. Their priority this week is reestablishing the deep passing game, even against the Rams secondary. He is going to take his shots. Pryor's going to get his shot. Crowder is going to get their shots. They are not going to say, okay, look at this defense. They're going to be scared off by it. They are going to go downfield.
Who's
going to
win that game?
The Redskins and the Rams?
Yeah.
Make the prediction
okay,
next
okay,
time.
Okay,
I think, my game.
I think Washington is going to win the game.
Or don't.
Yeah. Just go ahead and do what you want to do, Scott.
Yeah. Hey, listen. Terrell Pryor dropped that touchdown pass. That was on him. I think Ryan Grant, if say Jamison Crowder re-aggravates his hip and stuff and misses time, Ryan Gruden, as they call him in Washington, because he's the coach's pet, is must-own territory there. But I think if like Pryor was to go down, I think Doxson would be, look, as much as they still really think this kid's talented, they still like him. As Corey says, you got to get on the field. He's kind of getting like Bigfoot. You know, you hear, you've heard of him. Somebody saw him here or there. But, you know,
the thing about Bigfoot
in a wooded
though,
area in Landover, Maryland. Yeah. Josh Doxson. Yeah. Like, that's him. That's Doxson. I saw him.
The difference between him and Jared Cook though is Jared Cook was healthy and didn't produce.
Oh, man. A lot of people on Jared Cook this week. I love it. I love everybody on Jared Cook this
look,
week.
I am for
I
one
have
week.
Learned my lesson. I'm
I'll
not
take,
fooling
I'll
with
take
him.
Him for 1 week against the Jets. They lost another linebacker yesterday.
They did. They lost, not for days. Mulvin.
Yeah.
Mulvin, yeah. Dalvin Cook, we talked about Joe, in regards to Joe Mixon, how the Vikings have just given the keys to Dalvin Cook. And Scott, you pointed this out. Listen, the Vikings realized, okay, we signed Latavius Murray a bunch of money.
Yeah.
But you know what? Latavius Murray sucks. So we're going to give Dalvin Cook all the carries.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, Mike Zimmer.
Yeah.
Pat Shermer. Okay.
How about you do the same thing?
I respect that. Marvin Lewis, Kent Zampezi. You sign, you know, whatever. You got Jeremy Hill for another year. You got Gio Bernard signed a contract. But they suck. Give the ball to Joe Mixon.
During the game, Chris Collinsworth was saying, you know, it looks like it's going to be Gio Bernard. This has eventually become Mixon's backfield on first and second down. Jeremy Hill likely to walk. Okay, let's start the process now. You know what I mean? So let's stop effing around and start the process now.
You know what? This is the difference, gentlemen, between a winning organization and a losing organization. Minnesota has a set on the Super Bowl this year, right? They believe they have a legitimate opportunity to play the Super Bowl at home in Minnesota. And go on and have a chance to win it. And they think injuries derailed them last year. They think their defense is good enough. They think they made the improvements along
the
offensive line. Exactly.
The tackles, the center. Yeah.
Yep. The wide receivers are good. And they needed a running back, right? They needed a running back because Adrian Peterson was old. Jerick McKinnon wasn't good enough. They needed a running back. So they went and signed Latavius Murray for the goal line. And then they wound up drafting Dalvin Cook. Murray couldn't get healthy. They got Cook on the practice field. Like, oh, this dude's pretty good.
Cook could break one this week.
And they didn't turn back. That is the mark of a good team. The Bengals, after seeing what Joe Mixon did, they rode his ass on the bench.
And look, we talk another running back situation. We talk about Arizona, and a lot of people picked up Kerwin Williams.
Yeah.
There's some talk in Arizona that, like, if they get a goal line carry, it might not even go to Williams. Elijah Penny is 6'2", 234, and if he's built for one thing, it's the bull in the end zone.
That's true. You know, it would surprise me only because, Scotty, last week, I don't think Penny was active, but last week, Kerwin Williams got the red zone touch, and he converted it. So I think at least for that, like, all right, he converted this one, so maybe we'll give him the next
shot.
Maybe
another one, but wouldn't shock me to see Elijah Penny get an opportunity.
It wouldn't shock me to see anybody get the opportunity. Chris Johnson, Elijah Penny, DJ Foster, Kerwin Williams, Andre Ellington. None of that would surprise me.
I think if it's not Williams, I don't think Ellington's a goal line guy. When you got a guy who's 6'2 and 234 and that's what he does, you know.
You know, it's funny. It's funny you say that because I've always, like, really disagreed with that thought process. Not that you're saying it. It's just that, like, so many people are like, oh, well, if you did this massive dude, like, you should get the goal line back. Like, you should be the goal line back, right? And, like, Brandon Jacobs was, like, the worst goal line back.
Not everybody's like that. Reggie Bush was really, really good near the goal line. And he wasn't built for that.
Exactly. Exactly.
But I'm saying, you know, the scouting report on this guy is that he is a goal line runner.
All right. So, Barry, I'm not disputing with it. I've never seen the dude play, so I have no idea. But I'm just saying, it's funny the people, it's like, if you're this big, fat dude, you should be good near fourth and one.
Go to his NFL.com profile. His most recent highlight from last year scoring a 1 yard touchdown in the preseason.
There you go. So there you go. All right. We're going to take a break. When we come back, you know, the D and the K in DKMS stands for defense and kicker. So we're taking a look at some defense and kickers that you may wanna start. A defense to start in your rotoexperts.com/DKMS fantasy draft game. And, you know, if you had to stream a kicker this week for whatever reason, you don't own Justin Tucker, you don't own Steven Goskowski. All right, we'll try to find one of those. We're going to do that. DK, not draft games, it's defense kicker. That's coming your way next. DKMS, rotoexperts.com. We'll talk about it here at Roto Experts in the Morning. Next.
Ezekiel Elliott, Carl Anthony Towns, Corey Seager. Those are the rookies of the year, much like the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. The fastest growing fantasy sports network on radio is completely free, 24/7. Listen to us live at fntsy.com/radio or download the app right now in the Google Play Store or on iTunes.
We're back here on the Roto Experts in the Morning Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And if you haven't signed up for the RotoExperts.com DKMS free roll over at Fantasy Draft, do it at RotoExperts.com/DKMS. You just scroll all the way down to the bottom. You enter in your lineup, and you have a chance to go to the Super Bowl. You get to learn more information about DKMS, which is trying to find bone marrow donors to donate some bone marrow to try to help end blood cancer. We're going to have a guest on the Fantasy Football Best Friends Forever today to talk about just that, which is... you know, something I'm really looking forward to. John Concato will join the program coming up later on today. That's very funny. He picked up Tariq Cohen earlier this week for $51 out of $100, and he's upset because he fell asleep and he thought he put $5 in. So he's the proud owner of Tariq
Cohen. Who is this guy?
John Concato, he's a bone marrow donor.
Okay.
And major fantasy football player. He's actually an actor here in New York.
Okay.
So he's coming to the BFFs a little bit later on today.
I'm looking forward to that.
Appreciate it. Now, Scotty, D&K, inside that DKMS, stands for a defense and a kicker. If you had the street, we talked about streaming defenses yesterday on the show, so that was the D. Let me get to the K, and that comes with kickers. I get it. Nobody wants to talk about kickers because it seems like it's kind of random. But for the majority of fantasy leagues, especially mainstream leagues, we play with kickers, so we have to talk about it. You want to stream a kicker this week, which way are you looking at?
Well, you know, a lot of people picked up Giorgio...
The Italian dude from Oakland is what's got
He looked great, but I think Chris Boswell and Kai Forbath are two guys in that same game, which I'm looking at. Boswell didn't give you a lot, but I really feel like, you know, that Minnesota defense really stiffens up inside the red zone, and there'll be some opportunities for Boswell to convert this week. I feel like Matt Prater didn't really do well last week. He's a really, really good kicker. And I feel like, you know, they really don't have anything in the red zone to threaten the Giants with this week. I believe other than Galladay, they really don't have the running game. Well, Dwayne Washington runs hard, but still, I think it's going to be tough on the road, you know, at New Jersey for them. That could be a low-scoring game, battle of field goals. You know, those are two guys right off the bat, you know, that I'm looking at, you know, Boswell and Prater.
Hey, what do you look at when you're looking for a kicker in general? I know Boswell, Prater, Forbath or some that come to your mind. But when you're trying to find a kicker, you're looking for like a low-scoring game where it'll be field goals, or you're looking for just teams that like, have a high spread. Like, I know Will Lutz and Steven Goskowski are both owned in all leagues, but like that game has like the highest point total, right, at 56 points this week. Is that something that normally interests you, or is that, you know, how do you
pick? I'm more looking for the field goals, I think,
okay,
because you want to get the three. You know, that's why Justin Tucker is so good, and I think Dustin Hopkins could probably bounce back and have a nice week this week. And Blair Walsh, you know, has his head back on straight. You know, he's and you know, he had a really good preseason. He was booming like 54-yard kicks. And you know, look, a lot of people are expecting a Seattle rollover, but you know that offensive line is an issue, and they have a good front wall in San Francisco that's going to give them a test. When they get in the red zone, you know, might be about, you might see three field goals and say two, three extra points from Blair Walsh.
I've always, for whatever reason, I can't tell you why, because he's never very good, but I've always been a Brandon McManus guy. Yeah. I don't know why.
Because that's a team that's about efficiency.
Yeah.
And when they get in the red zone, like, C.J. Anderson is not somebody you can bank on. Yeah. And when we talk about the DK and DKMS, just some defenses, too. Like, I think Washington is a good stream because you look at – I'll tell you why. Because you look at last week, there was no blitzing. I was talking to Matt Modica about this. There was no blitzing from Indianapolis. You're going to see Washington blitz that front seven against Jared Goff. Jared Goff had so much time to throw last week. He's not going to get that this week, and that could lead to sacks, that could lead to turnovers. And when you're playing in our rotoexperts.com/DKMS game, Washington's only 5,600.
A reminder that rotoexperts.com game that in partnership with DKMS is over on Fantasy Draft, and it's totally free. So just head on over to rotoexperts.com/DKMS, scroll to the bottom, hit the link, you get right into the game. It is entirely free. There is there are literally no strings attached. Put in a lineup because you have nothing to lose. You can qualify for a chance to go to the Super Bowl for putting $0 in. Well worth it. We take a break. When we come back here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network, we go on TV. We'll preview every game that comes your way next on the Roto Experts in the Morning.